GDP takes the northbound fast train.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, it's the Morning Open. Hello, I'm Steve Chiotakis. For President Obama, it's all about jobs, jobs, jobs. From a couple of philanthropists, billions to fight disease. Marketplace special coverage from Davos continues a little later. First, where's Wall Street? The markets are up right now. The S&P up about 0.2%. The Nasdaq up nearly 1%. The Dow higher now by 70 points at 10,190. Markets in Europe a little higher right now as well. And stocks were off in Asia 1-2%. The nation's gross domestic product rose at its quickest pace in at least 6 years, 5.7% in the fourth quarter. We're going to get some analysis of that from Chris Lowe, senior economist at FTN Financial. He's with us live from New York. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Boy, it's nice to hear that music for a change.
Yeah, the up music, exactly. So GDP was up. What does this mean? And we heard from Christina Romer, White House chief economist, who says, all right, let's not put too much into one number, right? Maybe some more bumps in the road ahead. But is this sustainable?
I think it will be. I think the right way to look at this report is that this is the transition to sustainable that we need to see. It's the first step.
I want to talk a little bit about the stock market, because here we are up today. If it does improve much higher, or if it doesn't, I should say, we're going to see like one of the worst months in a long time, in nearly a year. Why are investors so skittish?
Well, I'd say there's three things people are focused on. One is Greece. Greece is teetering on the edge of default, and the Europeans say they're not going to bail it out. That would be really bad for European banks, especially, who have a lot of exposure. The second is China is tightening. China is the swing consumer of commodities. So if Chinese growth slows, then global commodity demand drops off. And finally is the new populism in Washington, this sort of anti-business attitude, which we're hearing from the president, but also to some extent from Republicans.
Next week's big number, Chris, is January employment. We're going to get that report a week from today. What is 5.7 GDP mean for jobs?
Well, it ought to be good. At this stage, what I'm hearing from businesses is that orders are coming in. They're still very cautious about hiring. But from more and more CEOs, I'm hearing, I might have to hire if the economy continues to grow at this pace.
Chris Lowe with us from New York. Chris, thanks.
You're welcome.
Speaking of jobs, with 10% unemployment these days, jobs are the main focus at the White House. Today, President Obama is pitching a plan that includes incentives to small businesses to hire up. He's speaking to congressional Republicans today, and right now we're speaking with Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, live from the Entrepreneurship Desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting. Good morning, Mitchell.
Good morning, Steve.
So what's the plan?
Well, it's something the president plugged in his State of the Union, and now we're starting to get details. A $5,000 tax credit for each new hire this year, a payroll tax break for small employers. That would be when they give an existing worker more hours or they give them a raise. Total cost $33 billion to come from money paid back from the bank bailout.
All right. So what do you hear from small business owners? If it passes Congress, are they going to bite?
Well, a lot of their businesses are still struggling, whatever Chris told us about those GDP numbers. And if they don't have more money coming in the door from sales and access to credit to make their payroll, they're not going to put up help wanted notices. Management consultant Peter Cohen told me that small businesses have gotten really good at getting the work done without filling all their office chairs.
And they are going to be very reluctant to hire new people unless they absolutely feel that they're going to be missing out on business if they don't hire them. So I don't think this tax credit is going to be enough to push them over the edge.
But Mitchell, there must be some small businesses that could be enticed into hiring.
That would be companies that are already seeing an uptick in their business, maybe entrepreneurial startups that see a big opportunity. They're probably ready to hire anyway, so tax break is just one more thing that might tip the balance.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman with us from Oregon. Mitchell, thanks.
You're welcome.
Listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Friday, January 29th, 2010, at marketplace.org. This weekend, the aging pro basketball star Stephen Marbury takes to the court for his new team in China. Yeah, he's left the NBA for the Shaanxi Dragons. Check your local listings for that one. He's marketing a shoe in that vast Chinese market. Marketplace's Scott Tong reports from Shanghai.
Stephen Marbury's already got a nickname in basketball-crazed China, Lone Wolf. His critics think he's a team head case. In the NBA last year, Marbury pulled down $20 million plus. $1 million is his maximum Chinese salary under regulations. Chinese locals think Marbury is really here to hawk his brand of basketball shoes and apparel, Starberry. Mark Fisher is with the marketing and consulting firm Sports and Entertainment Asia Limited.
I think he'll have a hard time competing with the leaders in the market, like Adidas, Nike. But he could make an impact at the middle to lower tiers of the market. There's still room for a lot of growth there.
There being smaller Chinese cities, like the home of his Shaanxi Dragons in Coal Country. Even so, Dragons games are now sold out, and Marbury's blog is big in China. Plus, he has a chance to shush his critics back home, and there are many. One American calls Marbury a shoddily performing export made in the USA. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
You name the reason, but it doesn't look like healthcare reform is going anywhere fast. So supporters are trying to develop some sort of battle plan, looking to form unions with some industry groups for a final push on Capitol Hill. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer filed this report.
800 healthcare activists have converged on Washington for a three-day conference by the liberal advocacy group Families USA. A week and a half after the Republican win in Massachusetts, the activists are wondering, what now? They're being told to form new, even unlikely, alliances. Executive Director Ron Pollack is trying to figure out how Families USA can work with doctors, hospitals, and the drug industry.
It could be joint lobbying, it could be advertising campaigns, it could be letters that we send jointly to key members of Congress.
NAACP President Benjamin Jealous told the healthcare advocates they need to court independent voters, even those who've become disenchanted with the healthcare bills in Congress.
And that requires us to really be circumspect about assuming who our enemies are and who our friends are.
Jealous told the activists those new allies could help them create a permanent movement. That may be necessary if the health care bills remain stuck in neutral on Capitol Hill. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Last month's summit in Copenhagen failed to produce a climate change treaty, sure. But United Nations officials still hope countries will meet a deadline this Sunday to submit voluntary pledges to cut greenhouse gas emissions. As Marketplace's Sarah Gardner reports from the Sustainability Desk, green investors say they need more than just promises.
UN officials don't expect all participating countries to meet Sunday's deadline, but the world's major emitters, including China, the United States, and Europe, are all expected to formally make pledges. Former U.S. climate negotiator Nigel Purvis.
I also expect that those countries will be putting forward what we've already heard from them.
Late yesterday, the U.S. announced it would do exactly that. But Chris Fox at Ceres, a coalition of investors and environmentalists, says investors are looking for much more. And he says that will take a national cap on carbon dioxide and other global warming gases.
There needs to be a price on carbon. And investors are very concerned about countries such as the United States, where there's policy uncertainty.
Fox says green investors are geographically agnostic and will put their money in countries where national policies support clean energy. Right now, he said, that's strongest in China and Europe. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
A recent study showed more Americans than ever are dissatisfied with their jobs. But if laughter is the best medicine, why are we seeing fewer comedians at corporate gigs? Cash Peters steps up to the mic to explain.
Okay, here's what we know for sure. We're in a recession.
All you see in the news is depressing and it's horrible and people are scaling back and no one's immune from the situation.
Well, exactly, Brian Pincus of the Bob Gale Events Company. We also know that everybody needs a good laugh right now, especially in the corporate world, right?
From my perspective at events, I feel like it's too risky.
Laughing's too risky? Agent Gail Stocker is a comedy consultant. She, just accept it, she books comics for corporate clients.
People always want to laugh.
Well, yes. So why are corporations reluctant to hire comedians for events, Gail?
For all sorts of reasons. One, they don't want to be seen as spending money frivolously.
Well, and two, because even when they do go crazy frivolous and hire a comic, it's a worry. I mean, what if they offend someone? Comedian Chipper Lowell knows this well.
In this day and age, you never talk about hiring, firing, where I could in the past. I could make jokes about replacing the president of a company and things like that. That is all taboo right now.
What happens if you do?
Oh, you just don't. You want the next gig.
Chipper. But clearly, it's all become so boring and, you know, corporate.
Right before a show, they will say, by the way, here's a list of things we don't want you to talk about.
Downsizing.
This division, this is their last Christmas party that they're going to, and they already know that they've gotten the axe, so enjoy. And then they put you up
and
on
you're
stage.
On.
And you're on.
All right, so if events organizers aren't using as many comics, what would I have to be to get hired? Something harmless, like a magician, maybe. Or how about a ventriloquist?
From my perspective, it hasn't been that in for a while.
Oh,
I hope they get a bunch of work.
I'm so disappointed. I guess I won't bother building a doll, then. In the end, hiring a band is the safest answer. As a result, some comics are down to 20% of their usual bookings. Not our best friend Chipper, of course, but some.
Even if I have the gig itself, I'm negotiating at 20 to 30% off what I normally make.
At what point, therefore, do you go off and quit and get a real job?
Oh, no, the money's still really good.
Of course it is. In Los Angeles, I'm Cash Peters from Marketplace.
Marketplace coverage from the World Economic Forum in Davos continues. There, Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates and his wife Melinda announced a commitment of $10 billion over the next decade to research new vaccines and bring them to the world's poorest countries. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
The Gates Foundation is the world's biggest private charity, with $34 billion in its coffers. Today, the two founders pledged to spend more of that cash on vaccines over the next decade. A lot more. In fact, double what they spent over the last 10 years. At a news conference here, Melinda Gates said the extra spending would combat infectious disease in most of the poorest countries in the world.
That means we'll be able to prevent the deaths with this investment and our partners' investments of over 8 million children in the next 9 years.
The money will be spent on researching and delivering vaccines against malaria, AIDS, and rotavirus. The decision reflects a growing concern about falling donations from deficit-laden governments. The fear is that if vaccination rates decline, infectious diseases could run out of control. In Davos, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
By the way, special coverage from Davos continues later on Marketplace. PepsiCo CEO Indra Nooyi talks about making it through the Great Recession. Finally, at the Schauspielhaus in Germany, a theater troupe decided they wanted to be authentic. The characters they were playing were binge drinkers, so they replaced their stage water with vodka, and they got soused. Theatergoers were mortified. The cast was falling off the stage. Medics and police were called. Talk about method actors. Hey, check us out online. Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. You can get the podcast there as well, which we offer to you every day, marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.